Okay, so 2 weeks ago, I spoke of basically the journey of faith as an outflow of grace. Okay, so I need to recap. Rowboat, okay? Remember the picture of the rowboat. It's sort of a picture of faith in Christ or walking in the Spirit. Is you are in your little rowboat and you got to row somewhere. Most people don't know where to row to. Why? Because they don't have a promise. The promise is the destination. When you have a scripture, a word, an impression in your heart, or a promise from God, usually from scripture, but also can be external to scripture, you have a promise, and that is your destination. So now you know which direction to row to in your little boat. Okay, you have your destination. Now you have your promise, and now you believe the promise. Okay, because you believe the promise, it releases grace. It releases what's grace? It's undeserved empowerment. You don't deserve it, but because you believe the promise, God extends grace to you and you get muscles. Arnold Schwarzenegger, muscles. Okay, Andre Schwarzenegger. So you get your muscles. And so you row because you've got power to do what? To obey God. And so you obey, you row. Now, don't stop there. Most Christians stop there. I've tried it. Doesn't work. God. No, row again. So you row and you continue keeping your eyes on the destination. You continue to hold on to the promise. And so you row and you continue to row until breakthrough. Okay. Journey of faith. Then last week we spoke of the journey of love. And I shared basically that what you desire is what you will pursue. So the world gives us promises. It tells us, I'm going to make you happy. Money and all the stuff is going to make you happy. So if you have that, and so the world, all the marketing in the world gives us these promises. And it builds into us certain desires. And so we turn a little boat and we start rowing into another direction because we have received another promise that establishes a desire in our hearts. But God wants to give us a new heart. Okay. And then I shared the outflow of grace too, which is the journey of love. Is it there? One down? Yes. It starts off with the reward. It's not a promise, they say, but a reward. It could be sort of a promise, but the reward is God, to know God. So you have the reward. And as you hold the reward before you and you deny the promises of the world and you look to the reward, it builds desires in us. Desires in us. To what? To draw near. And when that desire is there, God gives us grace to say no to the things of the world and to draw near. I think that is so blessed. God is really doing this in my life. And it's so powerful. But the key to what I shared last week is a new heart. God wants to establish in us a new heart. Now, I want to take it now one step further, and it sort of connects well with our fast and prayer. So I'm going to share a little bit about prayer. Okay, so now rowboat, but new boat. It's now prayer boat. Okay, can you say that? Prayer boat. Prayer boat. Yay. Okay, you're getting it. Wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to share a few things about prayer and a little bit about fasting and I'm trusting this is going to draw us closer to God. I read a book, a guy says, many experience prayer more as a burden than as a pleasure. So when they come to the prayer boat, it's not a pleasure boat. It's a work boat, okay? People don't, in general don't enjoy it. Although most Christians would say, is prayer important? They'd say, yes, definitely, absolutely, it's critical. Are you praying? Not so often. Few minutes here, a few minutes there, and there's a reason for that. But there's an outflow that avails much, that has great impact, and it's the outflow of prayer. And the reason I shared this last week, we're going to recap on this as well. You have law on the one side, and then you have love on the other side. Law tells you, you must. If you don't, it's going to go bad with you. That's law. Okay, so you feel like you're threatened. You have to, I have to pray. Have to. Have to fast. Have to. The moment the have to kicks into the Christian experience, grace undeserved empowerment flows out the door. Law is left and is difficult. Grace, there's a lack of power because the grace is left. But there's another one, love or desire. It wants to. It wants to. And when you want to, grace enters. It is empowerment. But the difference is like love. I said last week, if you love your girlfriend, nobody's going to keep you away from her. You love her. You want to be with her. Nothing but nothing's going to stop you. So when it comes to love, I want to, try and stop me. And that's where you need to come to the Christian walk. Nobody can stop you. It's not fun. I have to go pray. I have to go do something for God. I want to. I want to with all my heart. And that's where we need to get to. Okay, so why pray? Quickly, just a few points I want to share with you. Number one, the door between heaven and earth. Philip Yancey says, if prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. That is the place where God and human beings meet. The door between earth and heaven is the place of prayer. An appointment with the King of Heaven is as simple and as quick as just stopping for a moment and praying. Ever thought about it? That's as simple. The moment you do that, you have an audience with the King of Glory and He hears you. And He hears you. But we need to realize it's the door. It's the door. And God will meet with you. Okay, so it's a door between heaven and earth. Second one, it gives us a heavenly perspective. Philip Yancey says, I need the corrective vision of prayer because all day long I will lose sight of God's perspective. So, it gives us a heavenly perspective. The gift of prayer is vision to the blind at heart. All of us, when you get full of the world and busy with the things of the world, we become blind in our hearts. So the gift of prayer, when we're in that place of prayer, it awakens spiritual vision. So it is vision to the blind at heart and hearing to the deaf of spirit. I think that's so blessed. That so excites me. Just saying, God, I want to press in. In the world of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. It's the same in the spiritual context. Those who can see into the spirit, who has spiritual vision, and who can hear the voice of God, they will reign and rule in this life. And that's a fact. They will reign and rule in this life. If we see things from God's perspective, but you need to step in there. You need to get into the prayer boat so that you can get vision, so you can hear the voice of God. Prayer helps us also to silence the noise of the earth and increase the volume of the sounds of heaven. To silence the noise of this earth. Because when you pray, Jesus said, you must go into your prayer closet. They actually say that in the houses of those days, there wasn't like a closet. So what did Jesus mean when he said, go into your prayer closet? He's actually meaning a place inside. A place where you shut out the world and the noise and the stuff that distracts you. You just go, you become silent, and you tune in. You tune in to heaven. Are you so rushed and running around on the inside that you are unable to silence the noises of this life? How about spending some time in prayer? Are you so earthly minded that you are no heavenly good? They would sometimes say the other way around. I'm saying it this way around. Are you so earthly minded that you are no heavenly good? Are you so focused? Well, get to a place of prayer. Shut the things out. Become quiet and listen. You see, if you're in your rowboat and you want to find out your destination, you need to go to prayer because then you get vision for your destination. This is the way I must row. This is the way I must go. This is the voice of God saying this way. Okay, heavenly perspective. Third one, a heavenly position. This is beautiful. Prayer transforms a hapless beggar into a prince of heaven, commanding angelic armies to advance. Just a beggar, just a nobody can be turned into a prince of heaven with authority the moment they step into that prayer life. Outside of a prayer life, we just become beggars again. Our circumstances will dictate to us. Life will throw us around. Me and your little boat, the floods of life will mess you around. But when you come to the prayer life, into that place, you get authority and you get your vision, you get your direction, and you can walk it. You can take the direction that you need to go. So God has given to you and me a position in Christ. It is ours. He said, I have seated you above principalities and powers. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So that's given to us. It's available to us. But so often people then try to walk in it, but there's no power. Why? They've not taken up their position. They have not stepped into that position. They have not, through prayer, moved with their little boat into that place of authority. We take up that place of authority when we pray. The name of Jesus in the mouth of a beggar wields heavenly authority that beckons the angelic armies to respond. We do not pray in our own name. I don't pray in the name of Andre. Go, no. I pray in the name of Jesus. So there's power. That's why when we come as if Jesus Christ himself is coming before the Father. We are that righteous in the sight of God because of the name of Jesus. Righteous meaning you're in a right standing. It is as if Jesus himself is coming before God. A heavenly position. Fourth, strength to obey. I often say this when I teach in Bible school, the prayer module, but it is pray and obey. When we pray, we receive strength to row that boat. Often people feel that prayer isn't working. Have you experienced that? God isn't working. Often people feel that prayer isn't working because they want God to do something for them that actually God wants to do through them. I find this over, especially people very religious. Oh, we must pray. Oh, we must pray. Oh, we must pray. Wait, what about doing something? No, we must pray. And yes, we must pray. But then you'll be surprised. You might be the answer to your prayer. Most of the time it is like that. Most of the time when I'm praying for a certain situation or person, when it's like God then empowers me to step into that place and do something. It is very powerful. Look at this. Acts 4, verses 29 to 31. You see, God won't row your boat for you. This is profound. Let it sink in. That's my son saying amen. Preach it, Dad. Go for it. God won't row your boat for you, but through prayer, through connecting with him, we receive strength to row, strength to endure, strength to press through, strength to forgive, strength to love the unlovable, strength to do something that God needs us to do. Prayer is often used as an excuse for obeying the will of God. It's a cop-out. Let's pray about it. No, do it. Pray quickly, now do it. Or pray long, but then do it. But do it. Act. Look at this. Acts 4, 29. Before I read it, background. Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, the national leaders of Israel, and they threatened them. They said, we're basically going to kill you if you speak in the name of Jesus. Sure. And now they were let go, and they come back to the other disciples. How would you and I pray? What would we pray if we were threatened by the leaders, national leaders of a country? I mean, they have the authority and the power to take your life in a moment. And they did. They killed Jesus just before, about a month or two ago. How would you act? How would you pray? What would you pray? Let's look what they prayed. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. What? What do you mean that we may speak your word with boldness? God, we are wanting to sit ek en my klein hoekie en jy en joune. Ver weg van my. Dankie. Bye. I want to be in the corner. I want to hide away. God, I pray that you will miraculously save the whole Jerusalem just sovereignly. Boom. 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 No. But we pray like that. God, save everybody. Please don't use me, but save everybody. No, they said, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The answer to prayer is, we're going to row faster, harder, more focused. We need to realize it. That prayer is strength to obey. God, take our words, and that when I share with somebody, that would hit their heart, God, that there'd be such power in my words that they'll turn to you, Lord. But God, empower me. But you see, the danger of praying and praying and praying for God to do something when we are supposed to do something is that we do nothing. Prayer should be a vehicle through which we obtain strength to do. As I said, the ability to love the unlovable. Luke 10, verse 2. Look at this. Then he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I think Jesus caught them a bit there. They were thinking, thank you, Lord. Let's pray for God to send somebody else. And then, surprise, God sent them. God sent them. But you see, sometimes we try to row, but we have no strength to row because we haven't prayed. You need to pray and obey. I remember the one time we were, I was at Shofar Tigerberg Medical Campus, and I've always loved praying. I just enjoy praying. And then we had this lunchtime prayer meetings, and we've been praying for quite a while in terms of the, like, months, every lunchtime meeting type of thing, praying. And then I'm realizing, God, nobody's getting saved. I'm really praying. And so we were halfway through the meeting, and I said, enough is enough. I'm going to walk out now. I'm going to walk onto this campus. I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus. And I was amazed. I was astounded. I spoke to an international student, think Germany or somewhere, never heard the gospel. We had a whale of a time talking about Jesus. It was wonderful, and God was there. It was so special. Pray and obey. Prayer is action, but action that will lead even to more action. The power to go and talk to someone, the power to love someone, the power to forgive is in that place of prayer. Prayer has always been empowerment for men to act, to endure, and to overcome. Okay, that's the fourth one. Fifth one, why do we pray? Because Jesus did. Okay, read the Gospels. He prayed. He prayed often. He prayed through the night. He prayed every morning. He continuously prayed. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. Should we then pray? Yes, we should. Number six, prayer is where the battle is won. As I said, strength to obey. But look at this, Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was in the garden, and he knew he was on his way to the cross. He knew he was about to go through the most horrific punishment and suffering that any man has ever experienced on a spiritual, physical, and emotional level. And it's like weird if you would have like stood on the sideline and you would watch Jesus, because the scripture in Hebrews 5 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Look at vehement cries and tears. If you were standing in the garden, you'd think, oh, goodness gracious, Jesus, you're praying like a coward, crying, vehement cries. If you like suffering in the garden like that, you're not going to make the cross, man. You like falling apart here. What is this with you? Look at your disciples. They're sleeping. Wonderful. They're relaxed. They're calm, having a ball. But when Jesus got up there from that garden, he was the image of confidence, endurance. Everybody else was falling around and messing around and falling apart, but he wasn't. He was just focused. He has and had already won the victory on his knees. On his knees. Vehement cries and tears. How do we pray? Oh, Lord. We hold back. We hold back. I'm talking about myself sometimes as well. I hold back. And God is wanting us to pray from the heart. Jesus did. But that is where we win the battle. Seventh one, partnership. You and me, we are God's agents, inside agents on the earth. You see, God said, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? Are we on the defense here, or are we on the offense? And the gates of hell will not prevail. Meaning, we will storm the gates. We will storm the gates. That's what God's plan has always been. So there's a castle. The castle represents the world. There's a drawbridge. The forces of God are ready on the outside. They've encircled the whole castle. They can storm this castle in a moment and rip all the enemies apart. One snag. Drawbridge. Somebody's got to lower the drawbridge. Now that's where you and I come in. Lower the drawbridge, we kick. Enemies. We destroy the enemy. But the challenge here is the following. You and I, through prayer, we drop the drawbridge so that God can come in. But there's this little snag. This is like a high-tech modern scene now. You're at the drawbridge, but there's this code, the secret code that needs to be typed in there so that it syncs the secret code so that the drawbridge can drop. What is the secret code? Anybody? Nope. But nice try. Good try. Different one. A heart that connects with God. You see, God is not so much interested in our words. You can say the name of Jesus till you're blue in the face. But if your heart is rotten, God will not hear your prayers. God is not so much interested in the words we speak than the heart that we come with to Him. The link, the connection is when there's a heart, God's heart, in your heart. You see, but what we do is we build up walls around our hearts. Walls with God and with the people around us. And that inhibits our prayers to break through. Can't even break through our own heart. It can't get through. It can't get through. It can't get through. It's the heart. It's the transparency. It's the humility. And when that sinks in, bing, drawbridge down. Let's kick enemies. Yay. I was praying with somebody the other day, and the Lord spoke to me, and I felt God saying to me, you were the hunted, now you become the hunter. Go read the scriptures, people. The disciples took over the world in the name of Jesus. They weren't hiding in a corner. They're saying, God, give us boldness so we can share the word of God, not with our own strength, not with our own ability, with supernatural ability, that when we speak it, lives are changed, lives are transformed. But the key is prayer. Humble, from the heart, vehement cries and tears. So how to pray effectively? 3 points. Number one, from the heart. Jesus cried, prayed with vehement cries and tears. He just let it out. He said, God, I don't like this. I don't want to go through this. Isn't there another way? No, but when we become religious, probably can't tell God that, can I? Yeah. No, you must tell him. You must get honest. Get honest. Speak to him. James 5:16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Few things there. Effective. That means prayer can be ineffective. Effective. Ineffective. Fervent. With your whole heart. It's not external audibility. It's internal passion. It's something inside connecting with God and saying, oh God, you, righteous man. Transparency is critical. Now look at that. Confess your trespasses to one another. I believe that is the key. You can't be transparent with God if you cannot be transparent with another believer. And so we sit in church and we have all the issues in our hearts, all the walls, all the sins. Oh, I can't tell them this or that or that. But if we would be honest with one another, if we would confess what's going on inside, what are my struggles, what's going on, that when those walls come down, it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God isn't so much interested in the words we pray than the heart that we pray from. God knows our prayers even before we pray it. That's what the scriptures say. He already knows it, but you are the inside agent. He wants you to pray it. But he first wants you to be honest and transparent. People, church is about honesty and transparency. Hypocrisy, a face, being strong, doesn't cut it with God. Even Jesus, vehement cries and tears. And you'll find that it's liberating when you actually tell somebody, when you share your deepest hurts and offenses. 1 John 1:6-7. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we have relationship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, when we think of walk in darkness, ooh, that's heavy sin. No. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What does it mean? It means that when you and I walk in the light, we're honest. We say what we're struggling with. I was just honest for a moment with God. I was liberating. I was connecting with God because the walls were down. The walls were down. Wholehearted, wholehearted prayer. It says, pray for one another that you may be healed. You see, you and I, we need to be vulnerable with another person because then the walls go down. And then the healing can come in. The healing can't come through the walls. The healing can't come when we are trying to be strong. And that isn't real transparency and prayer. You need somebody to pray for you at some point, and the healing will come to you. That humility. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust is beautiful. Trust in him at all times, you people. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Pour, look at the picture. Pour out your heart before him. Don't hold it back. Let the walls go. Pour it out before him. And it says, God is a refuge for us. Do you know what happens when you pour out your heart before God? He protects it. He covers it. He's your refuge. If you hold back, you'll get hurt more. That's a fact. The more you hold back, the more you hold in, the more you have your walls up, the more hurt you will get. But the more you surrender it all to God, you can go through the cross and you're going to be fine. Because he is your refuge. Take your heart and put it in God. It is liberating. Okay, so that's the first one, how to pray effectively. Pray with your whole heart, from the heart. Let the walls go down. Second one, how to pray effectively, through fasting and prayer. Yay, we're all so excited. What is fasting? Fasting is abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. Fasting is letting go of the earth. Prayer is letting go. Taking hold of heaven. But you can't take hold of heaven until you haven't let go of earth. Fasting is that process of letting go of the earth so that you can take hold of heaven. It is so powerful. I've experienced breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough in my life due to fasting and prayer. I've prayed, didn't get breakthrough. Okay, time to fast. Let's fast. And then kaboom, breakthrough. Just after that. Wholehearted prayer. Fasting helps that. To pray wholeheartedly. Because you have to trust in God. It hurts to fast sometimes. I really want that steak. No. You see, there are different phases, I believe, for prayer and for fasting. It's like sleeping. When you get, just put your head on the pillow, it's like light sleep. Anything can wake you up. Chip, chip. But then you go a bit deeper. And then you go a bit deeper, like deep sleep. That's real sleep. Prayer is the same. Fasting is the same. Prayer, we start off in our first 5 minutes. We're going nowhere, but we're trying to go somewhere. There's like, we're not connecting with God. And then we're distracted. Our minds get distracted. I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of work. And so there's these distractions the whole time. But you need to go deeper. How do you go deeper? In prayer, by getting your mind focused. So you continue praying. So this is after 20 minutes, 25 minutes, or something like that, depending on the group, depending on the individual. And then you press in even further. And then you enter into place. Now you're connecting with God. It's like the outer courts, the holy place, and the most holy place. And so often we want to get with God there at the beginning, but it doesn't work because you need to press through. You need to press in. Same with fasting. You need to press in. At the beginning of this week, I felt the Lord just telling me, it's time to press in. It's time to go deeper. We are ankle deep, people. That's what the Lord is telling me. As a church, we are ankle deep. I'm saying, God, I want to go deeper. Let's go deeper. Ankle deep in the river of life. I want to go deeper. Fasting is not about working or earning the answers to prayers. And that's why I've been speaking about grace. And that's why we can't talk about this now. If you think you can earn the answers of prayer by the amount of praying, you've already missed it. You're not going to get the answer. If you think you can get the answer to prayer by fasting for a long time, you're also missing it. You're going to miss the grace of God. How does it work? Fasting is a step of faith. It's a step of faith. God, here I am, nothing else to do. Please help me. The one time I felt God speaking to me to fast for 21 days on water. And it was such a challenge, a faith challenge. I think I lost about 10 kgs in those 21 days. I was so skral soos 'n riet. But it was absolutely amazing. It was one of the most profound times of my life, because I felt God saying it and I just went and did it. But if you think that the amount and the length does something, you're missing it. It is by faith. God, I'm just obeying you. I'm just stepping out. So as a church, we are not boasting before God or anybody else. God, we look at us, Lord, we're fasting. So? No, God, we humbly come before you. We humble our hearts before you. We become transparent before you. God, we are so desperate that you do a miracle in our hearts and then a miracle in this town. That's what we're fasting. The scriptures are full of it. Every time when a nation would fast, breakthrough would come. Fasting is powerful. Fasting and prayer is the means to coming wholeheartedly before God. You've heard putting your money where your mouth is? Heard that? Put your money where your mouth is. Fasting is putting your mouth where your heart should be. Putting your mouth where your heart should be. You're saying, God, with my physical body, I am denying myself fleshly passions like food for the next few days. And God, I pray that in the same way that I'm denying my mouth fleshly fulfillment, I pray, God, that my heart, my spirit will fall in love with you again all over. And all its wrong desires and all the distractions would fall away and there'll just be one left. God, you and me. Fasting is leading your heart where it should be. If you do it by faith. Okay, last one. Very quickly. How to pray effectively. Third one. Speak to heaven first and then to your circumstances. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It is powerful. It is the means to get breakthrough in our lives. It is the means to get change in our lives. It is the means to connect with an almighty God. It is powerful. If you look at Jesus, there was a time the guys were in the boat, and there was a storm and he was sleeping. And the guys were terrified. They're saying, "Jesus, wake up, we are dying, don't you care?" And then Jesus said, "Where are your faith, guys?" And he spoke to the storm and he stilled the storm. Jesus was a bit angry with him. Why? Because he was saying, "Guys, you should have spoken to the storm. You should have said to the storm, 'Storm, be quiet. We believe.' You need to speak to your circumstances." And then the last one, Matthew 17. There's a man bringing his boy, his child, to Jesus or to his disciples, and they couldn't deliver him, the child, of a demon spirit. That he said basically, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples were upset. I mean, they prayed. They actually now went and they spoke to the storm. In a figurative sense, they spoke to the spirit. It didn't work. And then they asked. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to him, "Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by what? Prayer and fasting." So in other words, Jesus was saying, "Guys, you need to speak to the mountain, but you first need to get the authority to speak to the mountain. Fasting and prayer. Guys, you weren't spending time in prayer, and guys, you weren't fasting." I was. I've connected with the living God. I haven't worked for something. I've just positioned myself where I could connect with the living God, and now I could speak with authority. Now I could address. Now I could speak into a situation. Now I could speak to my circumstance. Now I can speak to the mountain, say, "Mountain, move and fall off, thunder off." You see, it's very powerful. Very, very powerful. That's prayer in action. Huh? Preaching in action. Hallelujah. Okay, so now you can't say that you don't believe me. We have been given responsibility and authority to speak to situations, not just to God. So often, we are asking God to do something that we are supposed to be doing. Sometimes we shouldn't say to the devil, "Excuse me. God, please deliver me of the devil." No, you say, "Mr. Devil, out. Out of my life. Out of this church. Out of my family. Back off. Go away. In Jesus' name. You're messing with my family over there. No more in Jesus' name. Finish and klaar. Eight. Weg. No." You need to come to the place where you take that authority. The depression setting down upon you. You say, "Depression, in the name of Jesus, out." And you have authority because you've been praying and you've been fasting. So now when you need to speak, you can. When the fear comes upon you, you can say, "Fear, in the name of Jesus, go. Leave me alone. You have no authority over a child of God." Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. But first go through prayer and fasting. Worship band, go to the stage. Huh? Powerful. Okay. So guys, for those who are fasting with us, I want to encourage you. Let's go for it. When you're fasting the next 3 days, in your times that you should have been eating, pray. Take your Bible and just pray. Speak to God, but transparent, from the heart. Don't hold back. And then we're going to pray tomorrow evening and Tuesday evening and Wednesday evening. And why are we fasting and praying? Maybe I can just add that I shared a few weeks ago that God, as a city, as a normal city, if you look at history, where there are rivers, that is where cities develop. Would you agree? Population develops where there are life source. So we as a church want to be planted next to the river of life, next to the river of the Spirit. That's what it's about. And next week, I'm going to talk about this, the whole thing of Pentecost and the incredible power of it. Amen.